Hi, everybody. Next will be Hiroko Sato of the University of Hawaii at Manoa and Luke Mara in absentia of Nutanovoa Village. And Hiroko will be talking about traditional knowledge, language, and the men's house, the case of an oceanic language in Papua New Guinea.
Thank you very much. I usually prefer to stand giving a presentation, but my computer doesn't fit to this table, so please sit down here. This paper will discuss the awareness and engagement in a community-based documentation project going beyond linguistics in an endangered oceanic language of Papua New Guinea. This is a co-presentation with my language consultant, Luke Mara. He is a former head of the primary school in Nutanovoa, Kobe. We have been working together since 2010. Also, he is married to a sister of my host father in Papua New Guinea, so he is my host uncle. Collaborative work with community members is increasingly emphasized in the field of language documentation, as seen in many literature such as Himmelman, Grenoble, and among others. Along with the discussion of the importance of collaborative work with the community, some successful case studies have been reported. However, I gave a presentation at the first conference of ICLDC 4 years ago, and my question was, are all communities willing to collaborate with researchers? I faced some issues of the community attitude toward research and language. In this paper, I asked two main questions: what the community needs and how do community-based documentation respond to their needs and values? And how can we raise the awareness of the importance of their language? I will particularly focus on change of their attitude. First, I will talk about the background of me and Luke Mara. Then I will discuss Kobe culture. Finally, I examine the community attitude and the implication of this study. Kobe is an Austronesian language spoken in northwest of West New Britain province in Papua New Guinea. So this is a New Britain island, and the red circle indicates a Kobe area, and the Nutanovoa village is the most west part of Kobe. Kobe is primarily spoken in 18 villages, including some on the adjacent islands. As is common in much of New Britain and Melanesia, the Kobe area shows considerable linguistic diversity. It is surrounded by 5 other indigenous languages. There are about 8,000 people living in the area, but many are not fluent speakers of Kobe. This is because Kobe people have begun to use Tokpisin and English as lingua franca and Tokpisin even in their daily life. I have conducted fieldwork in Kobe since 2001. In the previous year, I got to know a Kobe speaker in Japan in order to study Tokpisin. The speaker was a graduate student supported by a Japanese government scholarship, so he used to live in Japan. Although he didn't accompany me, he contacted his family in Papua New Guinea before I traveled there in 2001. I eventually visited his village, which is Kabo in Kobe. When I was in Kinbe town, I stayed with his family, which became a great host family. Personally, the relationship with my host family in Kinbe town is beyond that of a host family or a step family. Although we are not blood family, we are very close to each other just as a biological family, and I'm hesitant to call them my host family, so I just refer to them as immediate family, like father and mother in my talk from now. This close relationship became an important factor later on. I traveled to my father's village, Kapo, which became my base, and stayed with his siblings and relatives. Particularly, I stayed and worked with one of my father's sisters. However, when I returned to Papua New Guinea in 2010, I had to change village from the safety reasons. Kapo was not safe at that time, and my family did not want me to go to and stay in Kapo. Moreover, my father's sister, who used to take care of me, passed away in 2006, so in any case, I have to find a new consultant. In fact, my father already arranged my stay with his brother-in-law, who is the husband of his another sister, before I arrived in Papua New Guinea in 2010. Ideally, my opinion was not included. I did not have a choice in my destination, although I was happy regardless of where I based. As a result, I was relocated to Netabua, where Luke and his family live. I'd like to mention the reputation of the Kobe community in Western New Britain province and even in other parts of Papua New Guinea here. An anthropologist and Channing, who conducted Kobe as well as two other areas in Western New Britain, reported that the Kobe have the reputation of being the most difficult people in the large island of New Britain, and they rejoice in it. This may sound a strong statement, and of course, Luke also disagreed with this. However, while this was reported in 1972, this reputation still persisted in New Britain Island. In fact, this reputation has spread even further than New Britain Island. For example, my friends from Papua New Guinea here living in Hawaii are always surprised at and laugh if I tell them that I have been working in Kobe, because they know people who have worked or had some social interaction with Kobe people know the difficulty of getting along with them. However, their attitude to my stay was not an issue for me. My issues were their attitude toward their language and my research. I faced the fact that people are negative or indifferent toward their language. They did not care whether language is spoken or not. Also, the communities were indifferent toward my research. They did not care about what I was doing. Furthermore, some people had negative feelings toward my research if they did not get benefited directly from me. However, of course, I was able to find a few great consultants during my stay and also to establish a good relationship with the community. So I did not have any issue in stay within the community, and that made me think to keep working on this language. So now let me talk about a background of Luke Mara as a consultant. Although he is not here, he is still in the village and he cannot travel all the way to come here. Luke Mara is married to my father's sister, as I say. Although we started to work in 2010, we have known each other since 2001, when I visited Kobe the first time. From now on, italic text indicate his statement based on my interview about our work in 2011, which was my last field work. As mentioned, my father already arranged my stay and work with Luke Mara. In Kobe culture, the in-law relationship is very, very important. Traditionally, they cannot talk to each other or even they cannot eat something together. Since my father is a brother-in-law of Luke, when my father asked him to help me, Luke could not say no. It would be so rude and insult my father if he refused a request. Also, once he said yes, he would commit until the end. This is part of their culture, but also his personality. However, according to him, he was a little bit anxious about my stay because he did not know of my daily living habits, particularly because I'm from another country. He was wondering what I would eat, what I would do every day. Also, he was unsure about my research. However, I was not nervous and anxious about my stay at all. In regards to my feelings, I do not remember how I felt much at all. When Uncle Luke noticed I was relaxed, he also became more comfortable. While my primary work is documentary linguistics, I was interested in cultural documentation, focusing particularly on material culture. The performing, the visual arts, and the identity in the cultural context of traditional social structures, because Kobe has very unique culture such as structure of men's house, spirit mask, and shamani. In Kobe culture, a men's house is a center institute. Each village has between 4 and 6 men's houses, and each family belongs to a particular men's house. They have to build their own house in front of the men's house. This picture actually includes 2 men's houses. It is a place where women cannot go inside. Also, it is inappropriate for men to go to another men's house. Each man's house is essential in their culture because each of them has its own symbol, own clan story, and own spirit mask. So the structure of men's house shows their strong ties. Structure of men's house plays an important role in their ceremonies. Channing states that Kobe culture includes an endless round of wealth exchange. A Kobe man becomes involved in this endless round immediately after his marriage, and in particular on the many occasions marking the development of his firstborn child. For instance, when his first child is born and enters to the village for the first time, when the child leaves the place, when the child is initiated, when the child is married, when the child builds a house, when the child does something for the first time, and so on and so on. The family holds a ceremony and initiates a process of exchange gift with their relatives and other community members, which can include strings of shamani, wooden bowl, a pig, and nowadays often a bag of rice or cash. To ensure successful ceremony, all relatives must help the host. Most Kobe people are involved in many ceremonies that include wealth exchange, and this makes their lives financially difficult. These ceremonies are organized by a men's house. There are about three to five types of performance. The host of a ceremony decides which performance they make. Ceremonies can last for 2 weeks or a month. The climax of performance is for the last few days. People sing a dance from night to sunrise every day. This is a time to show their financial wealth to other community members, so ceremonies tend to be bigger and longer. One of the types of ceremony is called Aulu. Aulu refers to spirit mask. Spirit mask are highly respected and sacred. Each man's house belongs to own spirit mask, so a spirit mask comes out when it's a man's host a ceremony or when someone is related to the host man's house. Once a spirit mask comes out, people sing special songs and dance with it. However, we have to well behave and respect it. I wanna just quickly play the video clip.
Thank you.
here's a couple of pictures. So while these traditional performances are very important in Kobe culture, they are not originated in Kobe. They are sung in another language and none of Kobe people understand it. Also, spirit masks are not originated. Kobe still keep this ceremony active, but the neighboring area already lost the culture, the structure of men's houses as well as these performances. Given that Kobe people actively perform, it is recognized as Kobe culture. Also, it is part of their identity. It is also a very important event for the community. During the climax of an event, there is no school and, of course, no field work. So people don't perform during the daytime. During my stay, I was able to experience and looking at a few ceremonies, and I noticed that people, especially young people, are much involved in ceremonies, and they are very excited to see spirit mask. If we hear a rumor that a spirit mask may come out on the night, children get just very excited. I observe their positive attitude toward their traditional performing. As a researcher, I was able to see very unique culture aspect during my fieldwork. I was also excited to attend a ceremony every time. It was not only because I was able to record it, but also I like to be involved in performing as a dancer. I always dress up and made up. I personally like performing, so I was much involved in it as a dancer, but it seems that my interest for performing stimulates look as well as the community members to reflect over their culture. At the beginning, they are wondering why someone from another country was interested in their culture. However, they gradually got used to it and even noticed the uniqueness of their culture. Furthermore, I often told Luke about the situation of the Kobe language, and he implied my concern to their culture situation and pointed out that their culture is not as active as before. So here is a picture of me dancing. Sharing common interest encourages changing attitude and makes a different situation. At the beginning, Luke was in a situation where he could not refuse working with me. It was not his choice to work. Also, he did not have any idea about linguistics. However, he got aware of the importance of their culture as well as the fact that they may lose their culture. As for linguistic work, he said that it was fun, and also he also learned the Kobe language from different perspectives, but he sometimes got bored from the same questions. However, he actually showed some interest in linguistic work at the end. I gave an introductory book of Oceanic language as a gift, and he was reading it while I was there, and eventually he asked me to give, for example, example of what's the grammatical change in Kobe language, what's the phonological change in the Kobe language. He used a linguistic term during my field work. At the beginning of my work on the Kobe language, I faced some issues. However, I learned that we should not give up. There should be many options to change our situation, such as changing locations or even aims. Also, a long-term relationship helped me a lot. I realized that our attitude also very important. My attitude may stimulate them to reflect over their interests and needs. Unfortunately, the majority of the Kobe community is still indifferent toward their language, but people finally began to be aware of the situation. Linguistic work may not be the first choice for them, but if we find where their interest lies, it may be key to bringing collaborative work and linguistic research. At the end of my fieldwork, I thought I saw a small brightness for our future for linguistic documentation through their interest in cultural documentation. Finally, Luke At the very end of our field work session, which was the last day of my village, Luke said he wanted to keep up their traditional knowledge and make sure to pass it on to the next generation. Also, he would organize a lesson about traditional singing and then dancing. I'm not sure if it's happening right now, but that's what he said. And this statement actually gave me a good way to finish my fieldwork in Kobe. Thank you.
About 9 minutes for questions. If anybody, for people who have questions, if you could please use one of these two standing mics.
Did you say that the language they use in these ceremonies? Their own language. It's a kind of sacred language.
No, it's not.
Repeat the question.
It's a language from neighboring people.
Yeah, so his question is what language they use during the ceremonies. And since these ceremonies are introduced from another area, they also adapt the neighboring language, but they don't understand what it means. So it's not like a secret language or anything. So it's from another language.
Another question is about...
Can you use the microphone so everyone can hear you, please?
There's a mic right there, not here.
The performance. No, my second question was about whether the men's house is the right place to decision makers or to make decisions or mm-hmm. To finally decide rights between people and local conflicts.
Conflict.
Local conflict between mm-hmm. between people
mm-hmm.
between local people.
Mm-hmm.
Is just a place for ceremonies,
no.
or ritual, or is just also a place to decide things about the community and
mm-hmm.
maybe to decide about the rights of the one or the other
mm-hmm.
in a conflict?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So the men's house is used not only for ceremonies, but also for making decisions or even they can sleep overnight over there. So it's a very important place to get together over there.
I wanted to ask about the multilingualism in the village and in the area. It seemed to me, this is the same area that Bill Thurston worked in,
mm-hmm.
near it. He reported lots of multilingualism. Are these people monolingual, or don't they speak the neighboring languages at all, or do they all marry within the, is it exogamous? I'm surprised that they don't know what the language is. They might not understand it, but they should at least figure out what it is.
Many people actually can understand the neighboring language quite well, and also nowadays they use the Tokpisin, although the Tokpisin is not used for these songs. But they claim that these songs came from Umboya, Siasi Umboya Island, which is quite far. It's actually not on the New Britain Island, from another island, and it's way far from Kobe. So they cannot understand language on the Umboya Island, so that's why they don't know the meaning of the language. No. Do you think still they could understand?
I have a problem with that, because if they came from Siasi, they should be able to figure that language out. It's quite closely related. I mean, there are lots of languages on Umboy that, that give them no chance of understanding. But the Siassi Island between Umboy and New Britain and New Guinea, if they came from those islands, they shouldn't have too much trouble parsing. That's one of their closest relatives.
I just trusted what they told me, and also I don't know the languages on Siassi Umboya Island, so I can't judge actually whether it's like the language on the Umboya Island or not. But I assume, so I just assume from what they say, I just assume that it's a language in Siassi, and so that they could not figure out what it meant. Yeah, I understand, yeah.
Hi, Hiroko, thank you again for your presentation. I was wondering if you can comment a little bit about the younger generation and what their attitudes are towards COVID.
Yeah, so young, in terms of the language, COVID language, the younger generations are very indifferent toward their language, and then they are completely now switching to Tok Pisin, which is a lingua franca in Papua New Guinea. However, they are very, very interested in traditional ceremonies, and they still try to keep the ceremony active. So there is a huge, I observed that there is a huge gap between the attitude toward the language and culture.
Yeah. Right, thank you, Hiroko. If there is there any more question?
Yeah.
Thank you, Hiroko, very nice talk. Since you say that there's an interest in traditional culture and preserving it, but not much interest in preserving the language, I wonder what happens in the men's house. Is it okay to use Tok Pisin in the men's house?
Yes, yes,
you
very.
You think it would be a sacred area that would be allowed?
Yeah, they, nowadays, actually, they, most time they use Tok Pisin a lot, even inside the men's house. And also, I showed a picture of a spirit mask, and if anybody they talk to a spirit mask, or if anybody they talk to about the spirit mask, they have to use Tok Pisin. And that is because the spirit mask is originated in another area.
Thank you, Hiroko.
Thank you so much.